we'll begin our reading, verse 22, Acts chapter 20, verse 22. As you are looking for that scripture, I want you to know that I firmly believe that God has given every believer, every person, a specific assignment in his kingdom that will promote the gospel and benefit the body of Christ. Hear what I'm saying. Everybody has been given a specific assignment from God that will promote the gospel and benefit the body of Christ. And it doesn't matter what you've been through in your life or where you are right now or what you are expecting will happen tomorrow or what happened on yesterday. It doesn't change God's plan for your life. Oh, I got some good news for somebody. Whatever setback you have experienced makes no difference to God. When God created you, when he formed you, when he gave you the assignment, he knew what was going to happen, when it was going to happen. So you may be surprised by what happened, but God is not surprised. The Bible says that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to whose purpose? His purpose. Hallelujah. Not your purpose. Your purpose doesn't always work out for the good, but his purpose. Can I slide this in real quick and offend about two or three of you? You have no purpose. Wait a minute, Pastor, you just said God has an assignment. Yeah, you have no purpose. You have been given an assignment to fulfill God's purpose in the earth. Oh, can I help y'all? That your only purpose is to fulfill God's purpose. And here's the good news about that. Here is why, as some of you are looking at me crazy, here's why that is good news. God's purpose, Tony, that look right there. God's purpose is never frustrated. It's never denied. It's never overturned. It is never rejected, and it's never changed. And so if you are fulfilling the purpose that God has, you will always be successful because God's purpose is never frustrated. It's never hindered. It never is denied. Guess what? God always gets what he wants. And aren't you glad? Because he wanted you, and as much as you kept fighting him and resisting him and pulling away from him, his love was so aggressive. He said, I want you, and I'm not going to stop until I get you, because God always has his way. He always gets what he wants. Thank you, Lord. So much of our journey is discovering God's purpose for our life. God always has a plan that he's working out through us. And I want to encourage you to know that with God, nothing is wasted. No experience is a waste. No pain is a waste. No loneliness is a waste. No setback is a waste. No, with God, nothing is wasted. But all of the things that we are going through in our life leads us closer to discovering the reason why we are here. Hear what I'm saying here today, that nothing happens to the child of God by accident. Y'all don't hear me today. You are not the result of some uncertain circumstances or chance or a series of events. No, you are here because you are in the mind of God from the very beginning. And when he created you, he had a purpose in mind. And much of our journey in life is trying to discover why we are here. Come on. Why are we here, God? What is it that you want me to do? And let me just say this, and I move on to my point. God's will is for you to know His will for your life. Yes, God wants you to know it. And so He will allow things to take place to help reveal His will and His purpose and His plans for our life. But here is what I know, is that once we discover God's will for our life, there are varying levels of commitment to pursue that will. And I know we pray, God, show me what you want from me. What do you want me to do? What's my ministry? What's my calling? What's my purpose? And then God shows it to us. And most of the time, it's not what we expected. It's not what we wanted. And so we have varying levels of commitment to God's purpose in our life. And let me say that our purpose is connected to the purpose of Christ. Remember, I started off saying it's to promote the gospel and benefit the body. Okay? So that is your purpose. And once we figure it out, maybe you've made the same observation, but I have identified pretty much three levels of commitment that we find out what we're supposed to do. There's usually three levels of commitment, and if we are honest with each other and with ourselves, we'll find ourselves in one of these categories this morning. The first level of commitment is the just enough level. These are the people who we know our purpose, but we do just enough to be able to say that we're doing something. So we just go far enough to be able to check it off the box, but we're not going to sacrifice anything. We do it based upon our convenience, and we only go as far as we are comfortable. But when we are challenged to do more or to sacrifice something, then we pull back because we are going to do just enough. Check it off the box and see, God, I did just enough. The next level is the not too much level of commitment. The not too much level of commitment, you do more than just enough, but not too much. Not too much. These are the individuals that are only willing to sacrifice certain things for the sake of Christ. Like, yeah, we'll do more than a little, but there's a limit to what we are willing to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. There's a limit to what we are willing to give up. We're only going to be offended, but so many times before we say, no, that's too much. There's an area of our life we'll give to God, but then there are other areas that we keep to ourselves and say, no, I'm not sacrificing that for God. And can I tell you the truth that most of us are somewhere in this category where, God, we have a limit to how far we're going to go. We have a limit to how much we're going to give. We're going to do more than just enough. But if it hurts too much, then we back off. If it requires too much, then we back off. Then there's a level that I call the nothing is too much. And these are individuals who say nothing is too much to give. No price is too high. There are no limits. There is no area of my life that's off limits to God. No, I am willing to give up everything for the sake of the gospel. Even my own life, my hopes, my dreams, my plans, my purpose, everything, I'm willing to give it all up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even when people are telling you you're doing too much, it doesn't take all that, you say, no, I can never do too much for the sake of the gospel. That's the category, nothing is too much. In our culture today, we often talk about finding our passion. And the problem with the conversation that we have about passion is that we define passion as the things we enjoy doing. But the original meaning of the word passion is the things you are willing to sacrifice for. So if you have passion for music, you are willing to sacrifice time, money, energy to pursue music. And the movie, the Passion of the Christ, reminds us that we were Christ's passionate. He loved us so much that he was willing to give his life for us. So we are the passion of Christ. We are what he pursues. So understand, your passion is not the things that you enjoy. Your passion are the things that you are willing to sacrifice in order to pursue. The Apostle Paul, who we're going to speak about in today's text, was an extremely passionate man. Whatever he did, when he did anything, he did it all the way. There were no limits with him. And I don't know about you, but I like people who, when they do something, they go all the way. They do it all the way. I don't like us halfway doing stuff, and especially when it comes to the things of God. I think with the things of God, we ought to give God our very best or nothing at all. It's shame on us if we are comfortable just throwing something together at the last minute and offering God any old kind of thing. No, shame on us. And when it comes to the things of God, we ought not be lazy with the things of God. When it comes to the things of God, we ought to be excellent in all that we're going to do. And if we're committed to do it, we have to do it all the way. And if we're not going to do it all the way, it's better for us not to do it at all. That's how Paul was. When Paul was persecuting the church, he was the best at persecuting the church. I don't know any man in history that was better at killing Christians than Paul. He had mastered it. He had given his all to do it. But guess what? The same thing, when he was converted, when God saved him, he took that same passion that he used to persecute the church, he took that same passion to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know anybody who was better at explaining and promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ than Paul. Paul gave his all. You know why he was the best at it? Because for Paul, hear this, there was nothing he wasn't willing to sacrifice for the gospel. Come on. That's why he was the best at it, because he was willing to go all the way. Verses 22 through 27 is our text today, and it gives us some insight on Paul's view of the commitment to the gospel. Look at what he says in the first part of verse 22. He says, "And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem." Can I pause there for a minute and notice the verbiage there? Paul said, "I am bound by the Spirit." Paul considered himself bound by the Spirit. Paul considered himself a slave of the Holy Spirit. Paul was not a free agent. He gave up his right to choose what he wanted to do, where he wanted to go, and what he wanted to say. He was not a free agent. He says, "I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't have a choice. I don't get to decide not to do it today because I'm not feeling it. I don't get to not go because it's going to cost me too much. Why? Because I am bound by the Spirit. And whatever you are bound by controls you. That's why the Bible says, be not entangled again with the bondage of fear, because fear will bind you up. But Paul said, I'm not bound by fear. I am bound by the Spirit." Listen, Paul gave up his right to do what he wanted to do with his life. Paul was not resisting the will of the Spirit. And if we are honest with ourselves this morning, there are times when we resist the will of the Spirit, where the Spirit is leading us one way and it's too risky. It may cost us too much. We may lose our reputation or lose our friends or lose some money. And so we decide not to do what the Spirit is telling us to do because we don't consider ourselves bound by the Spirit. We consider ourselves to be able to do what we want to do. But I'm telling you, if we are going to transform this world for Jesus Christ, then we need some more people who realize that I am bound by the Spirit, and wherever he pulls me, that's where I'm going to go. verse 22, the second part, and verse 23, listen to this. He says, I don't know what awaits me, except the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. Oh, Lord Jesus. Listen, I'm bound by the Spirit. And the only thing that the Spirit has confirmed to me is that wherever I go, there are two things I can expect: prison and suffering. Oh, but Holy Spirit, speak lovely to me. Speak a word of encouragement to me. No, the Holy Spirit didn't give him every detail. He said, here's what, expect this: suffering and prison. But look, Paul was so committed to the gospel that even when the Spirit told him that if you are obedient to me, there's nothing you can expect. There's one thing I can guarantee you, that every city you go to, you are going to be put in prison and you are going to suffer. But Paul went anyway because he wasn't intimidated by trouble. Let me tell y'all something. I believe that one of the reasons that God doesn't tell us everything that's going to happen, because if he did, some of us would have said no. Okay, let me talk about me, since y'all don't want me to offend y'all. Listen, I know for a fact that if when I said yes to God over certain things, if he would have told me, well, Timmy, y'all can't call me that. When Pastor Tim, sorry, I'm talking to myself this morning. I'm trying to encourage myself. He said, if God would have told me, listen, when you go there, here's what you can expect. There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some pain. There's going to be some disappointment. There are going to be some knives in your back and some lies to your face. If he would have told me all that would have happened, there were some things I would have said no to. So I thank God that he doesn't tell us everything that's going to happen. Hallelujah. But he will give you the indication that it's not going to be easy. But here is the good news, that God is faithful, that if he sends us to a place that no matter how much pain and suffering there is, he made this promise: I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. No matter how bad it gets, I have your back. Hallelujah. So imagine you have given up your everything to follow God, and you decide to be obedient to him, and he says, and this is why, Lord have mercy, he says, listen, I promise you two things: suffering and prison are waiting for you. Do you still say yes? You know, you say yes when you're bound by the Spirit. When you realize you don't get to a voice. Some of our issues is that we live our life pursuing pleasure and avoiding pain. And as soon as it's, that's why some of us can't lose weight. That's why some of us can't get healthy. That's why some of us are in bad relationships, because we pursue pleasure. And as soon as it gets painful, we back off. And we wonder why, I don't know who I'm talking to, but we're wondering why we're not experiencing the change. Why? Because I don't know a significant change that happens without some discomfort and without some pain. Please explain to me. Show me an example. Tony had a grandbaby. I am sure that before that beautiful baby got here, there was a whole lot of pain, a whole lot of, look what you got me into, a whole lot of, I'm mad at somebody. But listen, what happens afterwards? Paul was so excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ that he said, if I have to suffer, if I have to go into prison, if it means that the gospel is spread, then I'm willing to endure it for the sake of the gospel. And we need a church that's willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel. Listen here, verses 22 through 23. He said, I don't know what waits me except the Holy Spirit tells me in every city, jail, and prison lie ahead. Verse 24 is significant. He says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. Listen to what he says. Paul recognized that his life had value because of the assignment that he had received from the Lord Jesus. He says, if I'm not using my life to finish my assignment, my life has no value. Can I tell you, the real value of your life is in completing your assignment that you have received from God. Can I tell you why you add value? You add value because God has given you an assignment that nobody else can do. It is an assignment that is specifically for you. That's why we don't have to compete with each other. That's why we don't have to compare ourselves with each other. And that's why we don't have to look at what other people are doing, because all of us have been given a specific assignment from God that nobody can take from us, and nobody can do it, because it is a specific assignment that God has given us. And the value of our life is not in the money that we have, not in the friends that we have, not in our occupations and who we are and what we do, but what adds real value to our life is when we are completing the assignment that God has given us. That's why it doesn't matter what you experience in life. If you still are not completing your assignment, there's a void in your life. There is an emptiness in your life, because you know there's something more that you're supposed to be doing. Yeah, we're celebrating you on your journey, but in your heart of hearts, you are not satisfied, because you know that this promotion on your job doesn't add value to your life, but who you are in Christ Jesus adds value to your life. That's why you can lose friends and not lose value. You can lose jobs and not lose value. You can lose your reputation and not lose your value, because my value is not attached to people's opinion of me or where I am in this culture, but my value, my true self, hallelujah, my real value is in completing the assignment that Jesus Christ has given to me. And as long as I'm doing that, then my life has value. Yeah. That's why Paul didn't mind going through suffering, because he said, listen, if I don't do what God has called me to do, my life has no value. Oh, that's not how we look at things. We look at all these other criteria that define our value. And Paul says, listen, if I am not completing my assignment that I received from the Lord Jesus, my life has no value. Yo, we got to figure out the real deal. We have to reject everything this culture is telling us about what makes us valuable. God determined our value when he created us and gave us a specific purpose in this earth. And again, that purpose promotes the gospel and benefits the body of Christ. Verse 24, the second part of verse 24, he says the work, he defines, and I'm almost done here, he defines his assignment. He says the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Here is the one thing we all have in common, that whatever we do, the purpose of it is to spread the good news about the grace of God. Hallelujah, Lord have mercy. He said, that's our one assignment. And can I tell you, things are too critical today for us to put our value in stuff. It's too critical today for us to play with the message of God's grace. The world doesn't need a political message from us or a philosophical message from us. The world needs a message about the grace of God. The world needs to hear that God is not angry with you, but God loves you, that God has a purpose for you. The world needs to know that God can deliver you from whatever has you bound up. We heard Sister Karen give a testimony today. Somebody needs to know that there's a reason for living, and there's value in your life, and it has nothing to do with your circumstance, but there is an eternal God who never makes a mistake, and he will give you value. The world needs to hear about God's grace. Forget your political association. That politics hasn't saved anybody. The world is desperate, dying, killing each other, and we are being quiet and offended and timid. We need to open up our mouth and say, there is a God who loves this world. Oh, I feel anger in the spirit this morning. Be quiet with all the foolishness. Tell somebody that there's enough grace for whatever you got, wherever you are. God, Jesus died on the cross for your issue, and you don't have to live in depression, anger, frustration, loneliness with all this grace that never fails and mercy that's new every morning. Somebody needs to know that there is grace and mercy for you. He said, that's my assignment. And he said, I would give anything to get that message out. Look at how critical our day is. How can we be comfortable with doing just enough? People are dying every day. People are leaving this earth, and we're saying, I will work, but not too much. What is wrong with the church? I pray for a sense of urgency, that we go back to being urgent about telling the world about Jesus, because it's too much at stake. Too many people are losing their lives without ever hearing about the grace of God. They hear our views. They hear what church has the best program. They hear who's the best singer. They hear who's the best preacher. But we need somebody talking about the grace of God. I want to ask us this question. Is this the legacy that we want to leave? That we did just enough? In the corridors of history, do we want it to be said that we did more than just enough, but not too much? That's not the legacy we want to leave, church. Listen, if I'm in critical condition in the hospital, I don't want a doctor that comes in and say, listen, Tim, I'm going to do just enough to say I did something. Next, check, please. No. And I don't even want the doctor to come in there and say, listen, I'm going to do just enough, but not too much. I ain't gonna lose my license over you. No, I want the doctor that says, I'm gonna do everything I can do to save you. Oh, can I tell you that the best doctor in town, the best he can do is help you live better down here. But our assignment doesn't only help you here, but it helps you in eternity. We are the doctors, and we're going around saying, I'm not going to do too much. I'll do just enough. When what we do could determine where people spend eternity, do you realize that what you do has eternal consequences? Don't do too much at work. Don't do too much with your family. But when it comes to the gospel of grace, there's not too much we can do to get that message out. Last couple of verses, verses 25 through 26, is the meat of this text. Hear what Paul says. He says, and now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault, for I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. Listen to what he says. Paul realizes, listen, this is the last time y'all going to see me. You're never going to see me again. This is my last opportunity to preach to you. And I want you to know that I'm leaving here with no guilt. I'm leaving here knowing that if any of you suffer eternal death, it's not my fault. Why? Because I told you everything God wanted you to know. Yeah, I'm leaving here in peace because whatever happens to you is not my fault because I gave you everything that you needed to know. Can I tell y'all, I wanted to preach something else today. I like to preach messages that make people feel good. I like to preach messages about the promises of God and what he will do for you if you trust him, and he'll make every mountain low and every valley high. I like to preach messages that make people feel empowered, like they can conquer the world and the whole universe is on their side. But I realize that one day I'm going to leave here. And when I leave here, I want to be able to say, if any of the people who I preach to suffer eternal death, it's not my fault because I gave them everything God wanted them to know. Can I tell you, that's not just my burden, that's your burden too. Because there are people who you have influence over your life, in your life, family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, associates. If you were to leave here today, can you leave here in peace saying, if any of them suffer eternal death, it's not my fault because I told them everything they needed to know. That's why doing just enough or not too much is an offense to God. Because Jesus, he didn't do just enough. Anybody glad that he didn't stop and say, I'm not going to do too much? No. He went all the way in. And he died. He allowed what he created to crucify him. He allowed the beings who his existence breathes life to them. He allowed them to crucify him so that they could escape eternal death. Would you stand to your feet? It's a critical hour now, saints. Let's not get distracted by all the things that the adversary puts before us. I sit heavy in this message because, like many of you, sometimes I feel like God is too much. I'm tired. How much more am I supposed to give? How much more am I supposed to sacrifice? How much more am I to endure? When can I just take a break? God, you sent me, but you didn't tell me all of this was going to happen. And it's too much. And then God reminds me, wait a minute, there is no limit to what I do for you. There's no limit to what I have given to you. How dare you tell me there's a limit to what you are willing to offer me? Can I say this? What if God was only as committed to us as we are to him? Think about that. What if those days, don't raise your hand because many of us, all of us have those days where we just don't feel like doing nothing. So wave at me so I know I'm not the only one. Someday I ain't doing nothing. I've done too much already. What if God decided one morning, today I'm not doing anything. I'm tired. I've done too much. They're not even thanking me for what I've already done. They get nothing today. Oh, God, aren't you glad that the faithfulness of God is not determined by the faithfulness of man? Hallelujah to God. Aren't you glad that God has no limit? And that's our assignment. Our assignment is to tell this world there is no limit to the love of God. There is no limit to the grace of God. There is no sin too dark. There's no person too evil that God cannot save. And he demonstrated his love through Jesus. We sit in this moment here today. We examine ourselves and we renew our commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've made church be about what we can get from it. We can show our importance, exercise our talents. And the world, hear the Spirit today, the world is weeping and groaning and waiting for the sons of God to appear. There's somebody you know right now who's feeling lost at this very moment. And they just need one word. I think I heard Sister Karen say, one word, one word. I remember one day a few years back, I came to church, said, God, this is it. I'm not preaching no more. I'm not saying anything else. And when church started, I said, God, just give me one reason to hold on. Hallelujah. Just give me one reason. I sat through service. I didn't hear the reason in the singing. The preaching was good, but I didn't hear the reason in the preaching. You know when I heard it? I heard it when I was going to my car in the parking lot, prepared to cry all the way home. Somebody came up to me and said, I'm praying for you. You know what that told me? That told me God hasn't forgotten about you. See, we live in 2018, and we live stream and we Facebook live services, and all that is great. But nothing compares to being in the house with people who are in worship together. Because God can speak to us through any means, and it could be the person you least expect come by you as you're leaving here, say, this today was a waste of time. But as you're leaving here, they can say, listen, sis, God loves you. I see you. God loves you. And it's God's confirming it. And what am I saying here? I'm saying that's your assignment. What are you not willing to sacrifice so that somebody else will know about God's grace? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for not holding anything back from us. We thank you for giving us all, doing all that it took to save us. God, I pray today that you would shake us out of our spirit of complacency. Stir up our spirits and give us a sense of urgency. God, we don't want anybody's blood to be on our hands. We don't want anybody to leave this world without knowing you because we had an opportunity to say something, but we didn't. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would touch us. Give us an ear to hear what you have spoken to us today. God, in this moment, we renew our commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like Paul, God, we consider ourselves bond servants of the Spirit, bound by the Spirit. God, we give up our right to do what we want to do with our own lives. We surrender it all to you in this moment, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to dismiss, but would you just lift your hands today? It's a sign of surrender. Let the Spirit of God sweep over you today. We surrender to Him. Come on, saints. Let's surrender to Him in this moment. Somebody's life depends upon your surrender. Sister Linda, can you play? Thank you. Somebody's life depends upon you surrendering in this moment. Come on. There's somebody that God has assigned to you that are only going to receive the gospel when they hear it from you. Hallelujah. And God says today, make the commitment. Come on. We're pushing beyond our selfishness, always wanting to receive. What about me, God? What about me? We're graduating from that today, church. We're graduating from the give me, I need. And we're graduating to what can I offer? How can I serve? How can I let somebody know about Jesus? God, we surrender to you. Not just because it's the words of the song. We surrender to you because we realize the only value we have is the assignment that you have given us. Our life isn't worth living without completing the assignment that you have given us. Make us bold. Make us courageous. That even when the Spirit tells us that there's suffering ahead, that we don't back down, God, let us not be intimidated by trouble. Hallelujah to God. But let us push forward in the name of Jesus Christ.